All right, so lesson number three, our response to the Bible. We're going to get through this today, and we can move on to the next topic. All right, so because I think we've been in this. This will be the third Sunday, or maybe the fourth Sunday, that we've been talking about our response to the Bible and how it should be. Again, the Bible is the foundation of our faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now, when reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, reminding us that the Bible does say all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. What is our response to the Bible? What is our belief in the Bible? What is our belief in God's Word? It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Is God's Word important today? The answer is yes. Is it important for you to have God's Word today? Yes, because we're given warnings in God's Word, warnings of what is going to take place in the future. It gives us exhortation of the hope that we have in the future through the rapture, seeing our Lord and Savior face to face. Who has been attacking and trying to destroy God's Word since the Garden of Eden? The devil. Do you think the devil has stopped attacking God's Word just because now he has caused confusion around the world with mass translations? No. I just heard of something that this is new to me. I don't know how long this teaching has been out, but I was just made aware of it this past week in regards to God's Word. And this was someone who, I believe it was in 1961, or maybe he's 61 years old, but since he had gotten saved and accepted the Lord as his Savior, his parents had given him a King James Bible right after he got saved when he was a little boy. And I think he is now 61. I think that's the correct information. But now, for many years, he has kept his Bible in a box underneath a bunch of other books, not reading it. And as I was hearing this and hearing this man's testimony of why he does not read the Bible anymore, he gave some scripture references in the Bible that talks about the Antichrist in the last days deceiving the world, which the Bible does tell us that. We read through Revelation, the Antichrist deceiving the world, but deceiving the world by supernaturally changing the words in the Bible that you have. Now, it's very important, you know, I do have the Bible on my phone, so when I'm at work, I can actually read the Bible while I'm watching computer monitors and stuff. I was making the girls waffles this morning, and I had the Bible pulled up, you know, reading it, because I really didn't want to get, you know, waffle mix on my Bible, all right? But I still have a copy of a written word that I can, you know, look at. And I've had this Bible for quite some time, and I have other copies as well, because, you know, you probably have more than one copy of, you know, the Bible, all right? I mean, this is probably my favorite one, so, you know, this is the one I read. But this man was testifying that, according to Scripture, that in the days we're living in, the Antichrist, Satan, can change the words in your Bible that you are holding. Now, I know that, you know, you got to be careful, even if it says King James and you're downloading it on your phone computer, because again, it's not copyrighted. The King James Bible doesn't belong to anybody. Okay, you have different publishers that'll print it and stuff, but you got to be careful that, yes, it can be changed. They can go in and mess with it, and because nobody will hold them reliable because nobody owns the rights to the King James Bible. There are publishers who own the rights to the NIV, the ESV, and all of those, all right, because it's all about making money. But if the devil's still attacking God's word, he still wants the truth to be darkened and, you know, a lot of gray areas that no one, again, the argument is we don't have the originals, okay? But we've already gone over that. But if this guy is really speaking truth, which I think he's not, I think he's a little confused when he reads scripture, because Jesus said God's word is settled in heaven. The heavens and earth will melt away, but his word will not. His word stands true. And forgive me, I'm kind of paraphrasing some of this, but when you think about God's word, God's already said that no one can destroy God's word. And in order for, again, yes, there are corrupt versions out there. You got to be careful, all right? I believe God has preserved his word in the King James Bible. Okay, that's my belief, all right? I really believe it. I'll stand upon that, all right? Because God said that he would preserve his word from generation to generation. How do you do that? With copies. Okay, again, we kind of already went over, you know, no one has the original. They were either, the original tablets with Moses were broken, then he had to, you know, kind of, you know, make more tablets. You know, the leaflets with Jeremiah were cut up, thrown in the fire, and Jeremiah had to rewrite them down. God told him, rewrite everything I told you, and I'm going to give you some more stuff. So it's always been copies that have been handed down from generation to generation. Cannot God preserve his word from generation to generation in a written form? Absolutely. And he uses sinful men to do it. Sinful men who have given their life to their Savior. Sinful men who have given their life to Jehovah, right? God used men, right, to write down his word. Moses, Jeremiah, goes on and on. The scribes, the kings, David had to write his own copy. He had to make a copy for himself. That's what God wanted, all right? So copies have been handed down from generation to generation. God can preserve his word, all right? Yes, you still have to be careful, all right? That's why it's important that, honestly, you know, you stick with one copy. Don't, you know, oh, I like that cover, and, you know, you start buying a bunch of Bibles, because you got to be careful, and you got to be careful who you purchase your Bible from, okay? Who is the one publishing it? Who's the one putting it together, collating it, and selling it, and giving it away? You got to be careful, all right? Because we know that the devil has been attacking God's word from the beginning. He wants to twist God's word. He wants to confuse people. He wants people to believe that sin is okay, that, you know, now that you're saved by grace, you have the liberty to live your life however you want to, and God just forgives you and God's okay with it. He wants people to believe a lie. He wants people to become lukewarm in their Christianity. And we're in the Laodicean age. We're at the end of the seventh church age, the Laodicean age, where it's lukewarmness among God's people. There's apostasy in the church. There are wolves in sheep's clothing among the sheep, devouring the sheep in this present time we're living in. But I do not believe that the copy of God's word I have, that the devil can supernaturally all of a sudden remove words from my copy. That would mean he is stronger than Jehovah. He's stronger than his creator. And he's not. But he has confused some people. And a very interesting thing that this man was saying, he doesn't read the Bible anymore because he used to read it a lot, but then started noticing there were changes. He couldn't give any examples of the changes. He just talked about he was noticing changes in his King James Bible, so he stopped reading it. But he is still researching all of this out. Now, when he said that, what are you using to research? Because he even states we don't have the originals. Now I can't trust the King James Bible that I've had for 30 years, 30 plus years, because, you know, I see, you know, the devil is supernaturally changing the words and stuff. So now I can't. That is exactly what the devil wants. He's been wanting God's word out of the hands of people so that it gets out of their heart. They stop trusting it. Now, if you stop trusting God's word and you stop hiding God's word in your heart, you stop meditating upon God's word, what do you have to guide you in this life to tell you and to warn you of things that are wrong? Because the Bible does tell us that with the Antichrist, if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. The Antichrist is going to be so good at the deception that he brings upon this world, calling fire down from heaven, all the things he's going to do, that it would even deceive God's very elect people and thinking, oh, it is the Messiah. It is, because of just how deceptive and how good he's going to be at what he does. If we don't have the word of God, if we don't have the truth of God's word today in written form, how can someone get saved? You can't tell someone how to get saved because you have no proof. You have nothing to show them. It's just your words, because you're supposed to. Hey, this is what Scripture says. Isn't that what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15? According to the Scriptures, speaking of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he said over and over, according to the Scriptures, which is God's word. But if we don't have God's word, then really everything we say about our faith, about Christianity, about Jesus Christ, that's just your opinion, because you have no proof. Again, the devil wants to keep the truth out of the world, keep the truth out of the hands of God's people. Again, I don't criticize this man. I pray for him, because it's obviously he's been deceived. He has believed a lie. Because the devil does not have more power than God. All right? go to, let me get there. Forget if it's first or second. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I just want you to stay vigilant on things you may hear well-meaning Christians say, because you still have to believe that God is all-powerful. God's still in control. The Holy Spirit is still working his ministry in this world until he is removed. Because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll start at verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, Paul speaking about the rapture. The Lord's coming, our gathering unto him. All right, speaking about the rapture. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, someone deceiving by sending a letter in Paul's name or someone else's name, as that the day of Christ is at hand. In Paul's day, with the believers at the church at Thessalonica, there was a lie going around that the rapture had already happened. So everyone's loved ones that had passed on, or I'm sorry, not had already happened, but the loved ones that had already passed on, because they died, they were going to miss out in the rapture. So this lie was going around, and it might have been just some people that misunderstood what Paul was teaching. All right. So, I mean, even in Paul's day, Paul had to kind of, point out some fallacies, point out some confusions and try to make it right. And at times he had to point out the blatant lie that people were trying to spread among the church. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Speaking of the Antichrist. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So Paul's saying, look, the rapture, no, don't believe a lie that, you know, the rapture's already happened or you're going to miss out, because there are some things that have to take place, all right, in regards to the Antichrist. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So he's saying, I taught you these things. So again, it might be that someone misunderstood what he said, or obviously Jesus gives the example of the tares and wheat, and how, you know, the husbandmen, the servants came to the husbandman and said, didn't you sow good seed? And the husbandman said, you know, an enemy has come and sowed tares among the wheat, right? All throughout Scripture, we're told wolves in sheep's clothing, pretending to be a Christian, pretending to be one of God's people, yet sowing deception, sowing lies. So sometimes it's a feeble-minded Christian who really doesn't know the Scriptures. They're trying to sound spiritual when they have no spirituality in them, because you know, they know that they're not real spiritual and not really grounded in the Word, but, you know, among Christians, they want to act like they are, and sometimes they sound foolish and confusing. Sometimes there are those that deliberately are wanting to sow seeds of doubt and seeds of deception. But Paul's reminding them, I told you these things. I taught you these things. All right, verse 6. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Okay? He who now letteth, that's speaking of resisting, keeping at bay. Okay? The Holy Spirit is keeping the Antichrist, even the devil, at bay. They cannot do what they're going to do, according to Revelation, until the Holy Spirit is removed. All right, the Holy Spirit's ministry is done. And when the Holy Spirit is removed, well, all of those that have the Holy Spirit are going to go with the Holy Spirit. All right, speaking of the rapture. All right, verse 8, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. All right, but again, the Holy Spirit's working his ministry. He's opening the eyes of the blind. He's helping people to see that they need to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He's helping people to have that faith and to act upon that faith. Some won't. All right. We know that not everyone's going to believe on Jesus, right? Even though they're given the opportunity, they're not going to believe. But the Holy Spirit is the one that's keeping the Antichrist at bay. The Antichrist cannot come on the scene until it's time. The devil cannot do fully what he wants to do until the Holy Spirit of God is removed. So to believe a very blatant lie that now the devil can just, you know, change the words in your Bible that you have in your lap and you've had for many years, it's a lie. Okay? It's a lie. Again, it's another tactic to get people not to trust the truth, not to let the truth be a lamp unto their feet and a light in their path, not to let the truth lead people to Christ and open up the eyes of the blind. He doesn't want you meditating on the truth of God's word. He doesn't want you applying the truth of God's word to your life. Again, yes, be careful with, you know, Bibles that you download. I mean, research. You know, if you're going to download the Bible on your phone or your computer, research the publisher. Find out who the publisher is. Find out who's on the board of the publishing company and stuff, because then you'll know what their motive is. You'll know, I don't know if I really want, you know, even though it's a King James Bible, you want to get your Bible from people you can trust. There are plenty of churches that have Bible printing ministries, all right? that you know that you'll get a King James Bible from. There's even, I think it's the KJV online store. You know, that's a good place to order a Bible from, all right? People that I've ordered Bibles from, that's where I go to. Because some of the churches are too expensive. Because they have they use the exotic leather and stuff that, you know, $200 for a Bible. It's like, okay, yes, the Word of God is very valuable, but I don't really need alligator skin or something. Just, you know, give me the fake skin, but give me the real Word of God. All right? So I say that just all in the introduction of be careful of what you hear people say. All right? Search the Scriptures, see if these things be so, and just remember who your God is. Can any man, or angel, or demon change God and His Word and His plan? No. The answer is no. Okay? And just remember, the devil still fights against you. Be vigilant, be sober, because your adversary is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. All right? So, our responsibility to the Bible. All right, our responsibility to God's Word is, I think we started with this last week, we should respond by reading it. Read God's Word. Again, don't allow yourself to stop reading God's Word because of what somebody else says. We don't have the originals. The devil's changed, supernaturally changing the Scriptures. Or, you know, there's contradictions. I don't know if anybody in here would admit it, but does anyone in here just always do what anyone says? Or are you normally like, you know, I'll check that out? I mean, when you go to buy a car and you ask the salesperson, has this car ever had any wrecks? Absolutely not. And you're looking at this big scratch down the side. You normally do what? You normally get on, what is that, Carfax, and you check out the history. Oh, no, it's had an accident, all right? So, I mean, don't just take someone's word for it. That is why even Paul kind of congratulated the Bereans when he said, you know, the Bereans searched the Scriptures daily to see if the things Paul was saying were true, okay? I've even said that. Don't just follow me because I say it. Right? Search the Scriptures. Look at the Scriptures. See if what I'm saying is what God is saying, because the Scriptures are of no private interpretation. All right? That's why God has allowed every single person the ability to have a copy of God's Word. Again, throughout the history of God's Word, man's tried to destroy it. Man's tried to keep it out of people's hands. That's why, you know, many that were trying to translate it into the common language of the day, into English, were being hunted and killed because the devil didn't want people to have God's Word. Just listen to the priest, listen to the minister. You can't understand Scripture, just let him explain it to you. No. Because when God was speaking to Noah, who did Noah go and ask, can you translate what God just told me to do? Where did Abraham go? Can someone tell me what God's telling me what to do? I don't understand this promise of having a son that God's telling me. No, God wants his people to have his word and to have it to where they understand it, where they can read it, where they can apply it to their life, because it's like, okay, that's very simple. When Jesus taught, you look through the Gospels, when Jesus taught the people, did he teach them with a theologian mindset, using these big words and big words that people didn't understand? I mean, I don't use big words because I can't pronounce or enunciate big words, all right? But when you look at Jesus used farming examples, things that people would understand, all right? And those are his words, and they're part of Scripture. All right, so again, we should respond to God's Word by reading it. Keep reading God's Word. Paul encourages Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. To doctrine. Doctrine is very important. Not man's opinion, not man's tradition. You go to any Baptist church and you'll find similarities. It should be, number one, the first similarity should be they're preaching from the same Bible and they're preaching the same doctrines, but they're not going. Not every church is going to have red carpet. Not every church is going to have, a Bible-believing church is going to have, you know, Sunday school, morning service, evening service, Wednesday service. Sometimes they're different based on where they're at, all right? But it's important that wherever you're attending, you are specifically, personally giving your attendance to your own personal Bible reading, to exhortation and to doctrine. Keep yourself familiar with the doctrines of the Bible, okay? The doctrines of the Bible. The Bible is God's instruction manual for us. We'll never regret meeting God on a daily basis, reporting for duty, looking into what he has to say to you for that particular day. Psalm 143, verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. The psalmist, he says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness. I mean, there have been times in my life where, you know what, I felt guilty because I skipped out on reading the Bible, so I read it real quick to say, okay, I read it. But that was the only reason why I read it, was to say, oh, I read it, you know. God wants us to have the anticipation, have the longingness, the desire, like, I want to hear from God. I mean, there are times where we may get busy and, you know, we wake up late and we got to rush out the door and we just, you know, didn't have that time, okay? Just recognize it, and then when you get the opportunity, actually sit and read, but read to where you can actually think about what you're reading. Spending that time with God. Because again, his word is quick and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It is alive. He says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. It's not a duty. Never look at reading your Bible as a duty I have to. No, you get to because God speaks to you through his word. Because his word is like a mirror. It shows you what might be wrong, right? It shows you where you're at in life and where he wants you to go, the next step. I mean, it truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, all right? So, just think about it. We should respond by reading it. Letter B, we should respond by meditating on it. That's why we can't be quick just to read it. God really wants us to meditate, all right? To meditate on God's word. What was it that God told Joshua to meditate? He told Joshua, meditate on my word day and night. Meditate. Because you have to think about it, right? We can go through our day doing activities without really thinking about it. I have worked at FedEx for going on 8 years, nine. I think it was two in Wisconsin, seven here, so it's probably going on 9 years. And be 6 years, 6 years doing the same thing, working in their control room, looking at monitors, printing certain reports. No, I don't have to think about what I do when I walk in that room. I just sit down and I start doing everything I'm supposed to do, set everything up, you know, print out these reports, and I just sit there. I sit there for the next 8 hours. Because I know what I'm supposed to. I've done it so much, I don't have to think about it. We got to be careful that we don't sit down with the Bible and just read it and not think about what we're reading. I remember in my early days, we just started attending our church in Wisconsin, and I had gotten some things right in my life, and I was excited about reading the Bible. And I think I told you this before, that, I mean, just nighttime, my kids go to bed, my wife would finally go to bed, and I would just sit down on the couch, and I would just start reading. And I just couldn't put it down because I was so excited about just reading the Bible. I'd be like, oh, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, I better go to bed. I got to get up in 3 hours. But I'd get up in 3 hours, and I'd go to a Bible study, you know, at the church, and I'd have a Bible study, and then I'd go to work. But I was so, like, And I'd read the Bible before, but this time, because things were different in my life, it just, I don't know, it had substance. It was exciting to read the Bible. And I remember reading, I was reading about Solomon there in the Kings, and I was reading through it. I was just, man, peacocks and apes and all these things that were given to Solomon. I mean, just not, people around the world would come to him and bring riches and stuff because they wanted to hear his wisdom. And he sent out ships, and they were bringing back exotic animals. And it lists in there apes, or at least one ape. I was like, wow, what does that mean? And I went to the pastor on Sunday. I was like, Pat, let me tell you what I was reading. I showed him what I was reading. I'm like, what does that mean? They gathered peacocks and apes. Oh, that's it. I thought maybe there was a spiritual meaning behind that. I just wanted to learn. It was just exciting, right? But then there's, again, if we're not careful, we can get to a place where we read it just to read it to say we did, and it doesn't affect us. So we should be meditating on God's word, thinking about it, all right? Again, not to the point where we take it out of context, but, you know, what is God saying? And you know that if you're meditating on a verse, you're thinking about a verse, it's just not making sense. I just don't understand. Keep reading. Okay? Keep reading. The danger of taking one verse out of Scripture is the fact you don't know what the entire chapter is talking about. That's where you get a lot of cults. That's where you get a lot of churches that veer off the truth. They take one verse and they build doctrine on it instead of looking at the entire chapter. Can you get encouragement from one verse? Absolutely. Okay. But if you're reading in the Old Testament through the book of Numbers, Exodus, Deuteronomy, you know, you're reading all these books that, what in the world does all this mean? You've got to take time to think about it. You've got to take time to think about the history of the Israelites, where they were, where God's brought them to, what has God told them to do, because he deals with his people differently. That's why in the tribulation he goes back to dealing with Israel, back to dealing with his people, his chosen people. He's given 2,000 years for Gentiles to get saved, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but he goes back to dealing with his people, and Gentiles will still be able to get saved during the 7-year tribulation. But we got to be careful that we do think about what you are reading, because that's exactly what God told Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God says if you read my word, you think about what it's saying, you'll see the blessing that will come with obeying God's word. You'll see that, you know what, God's looking to be able to bless his people when they obey his word. And God tells Joshua, if you observe everything that I've said, you're going to find success in the battles that you're going to fight. You're going to find blessings every day of your life as you follow me, as you listen to what I say, because God truly wants to keep you from harm. It's just like a parent that wants to keep their child from harm. Don't go out in the street. Look both ways before you cross the street. We take, you know, in our neighborhood, we got a good neighborhood, but there's a lot of crosswalks. I take the girls, you know, on a walk, and it's like, okay, stop. Any cars coming? Look both ways. Okay, now let's go. But sometimes when your ball goes out in the street, what's on the mind? Get my ball. And it's not looking for cars. But you're hoping that over time of repetition of learning and being told, look both ways, that they've learned to look both ways and not just run out, you know. Don't be like a dog and just run out there without thinking, all right? God wants us to meditate on his word because it gives us direction. It helps us to stay safe, and there is a blessing with it. All scripture, right? Allow the scripture, think about this. Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is a meditation. It is my meditation all the day. How much do we love God's word? You will know how much you love God's word by how much you read it. Is there anybody in here who doesn't love food? Of course not. We eat food every day, because we know we need the nourishment. We know our body needs food. And we can go, you know, a few days without food if we're trying to lose weight or if we're fasting, trying to get an answer from God. But then, you know, we need food. The body needs it. Your soul needs the food, the nourishment of God's word. All right? And truly, we should have a love for God's word. If we have a love for God's word, we're not going to be deceived like the man I mentioned before. You're going to hear something and be like, ah, that doesn't match up with Scripture. That doesn't match up with the character of God and the nature of God. And you'll be able to, you know what, see what the Bible says. And then you'll be able to come to a right conclusion. What got Eve in trouble in the Garden of Eden? She did not keep believing God's word. She did not allow God's word to keep directing her and protecting her. She did not allow God's word to stay in the forefront of her mind and on her heart, because God said, you can have all the fruit of all the trees except the one. And where was the one tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Where did God place that tree? You remember what the Bible says? In the center, in the midst of the garden. And they had all the other trees to eat from. What was she doing in the center of the garden? And Adam, because she gave to Adam who was with her. What were they doing in the center by that tree? They stopped believing in God's word. Because what did she tell Satan? What did she tell the serpent? When Satan said, hath God said? She said, well, we can't eat it and we can't touch it except unless we die. God never said anything about touching it. He just said you can't eat it, because obviously, right, to eat it you have to touch it, but that's not what he said. So she added to what God said. She's there by the tree. So she's already disobeying God's word. She's not letting God's word guide her through that garden. So when the deception, the lie comes, she starts to question God's word. She starts to kind of, well, I know God said this, but it looks good for food. I mean, this person, which, I mean, don't, if a snake starts talking to you, don't believe it. The only good snake is a dead snake. But she's comparing what God said to what the snake says. Well, it looks good for food. I bet it tastes good. And it is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Surely God wants me to have wisdom to know what's right and wrong. Well, there was no sin in the world at that time. But God gave free will, free choice. She chose to ignore what God said. She believed the lie, she took the fruit, she ate it, and she spiritually died. They were thrown out of the Garden of Eden. The blessings of God were removed, and the curses came. Now Adam was going to have to till the ground by the sweat of his brow. Now she was going to have to deliver children with pain, childbirth, that they hadn't had before. That's why God wants us to love his word, because it will keep us out of trouble. Doesn't mean we won't have temptation. Doesn't mean the serpent's not going to come around and tempt us at different times. But if we love God's word, we're going to match up with what someone is saying to what God says. It doesn't match up. That's not what God says. That's not what the Bible says. So you know what? I'm going to stick with what's true, and that's God's word. So love, oh, how I love thy law, it is the meditation, it is my meditation all the day. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The Bible teaches us that God is our strength as well as our redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Letter C, we should also respond by memorizing God's word, meditating on it, thinking about what it's saying, so we're encouraged, so we learn something from God's word, but also memorizing scripture. Don't believe the lie that you've been told that it's too hard. Don't believe the lie that you've told yourself, I can't memorize. Sure you can. Because you're good at remembering what other people have done to you. You're good at remembering your faults and your failures. You're good at remembering things. You and I can remember Scripture. We can memorize Scripture. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against you. You can memorize Scripture. It takes time. It takes effort. All right? It takes repetition. Everything that we want to learn takes repetition. Some things you may, you know, some things you do, you may learn the first time. Other things, you know, takes a while. Same with Scripture, all right? Don't try to memorize an entire chapter the first time. You got to go verse by verse, verse by verse. Let me ask you a question. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You know how big an elephant is? One bite at a time, right? Think about memorizing Scripture just a little bit, all right? And the more you do it, the more you will see your mind will open up and you'll be able to memorize more. Because God has designed you to be able to do that. Otherwise, he would not over and over in his word tell us to do it, all right? If we couldn't, if we didn't have the capability, he would not have told us to do it, but he designed the mind, your brain, to be able to memorize, all right? To be able to memorize Scripture, and it is important to do that because it will change our thinking. We will start to have right biblical thinking. The lies will be dismissed in our minds. The strongholds, as we're told in Ephesians, the strongholds will be pulled down. Those imagination and thoughts that are contrary to the truth of Christ and contrary to the truth of God's word will be, they'll be conquered with truth as you memorize and meditate on God's word, all right? We should also respond by hearing it preached and taught, all right? Listen to it. Yes, read your Bible on your own. God's given you the Holy Spirit to teach you and guide you through Scripture, but it's also good to listen to someone who preaches the truth of God's word, to hear the applications, right? And to be exhorted with God's word, to be encouraged, again, that there are other believers, there are other people who are living their life for the Lord, trying to live their life for the Lord, trying to grow in their faith, trying to follow God's will for their life. So listen to it. But again, it's a man, hopefully, that's being guided by God. Hopefully, it's a man that's being guided by God. And you'll know. Again, if you stay in the Bible yourself and you read and you let God speak to your heart and you meditate and you memorize Scripture, you'll know if someone's trying to deceive with God's word. Because remember, Satan used the word of God to try to get Jesus to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Because the devil said, well, it's written, and he quoted Scripture to Jesus. But obviously the devil twisted it, using it to sin against God. And obviously Jesus knew that, and he wouldn't do what he said, even though he said, well, Scripture. Because many people have used Scripture to lead people to their death. to their physical death, their spiritual death. I mean, just read, you know, just look up the history of churches and stuff. I mean, what was that guy in the 70s, the Kool-Aid man? Jim Jones. He led an entire, some of them, not all of them, because some of them realized the deception they left, but he led quite a few to their death. And one thing he did, and I'll have to close with this. I don't know, I got a couple minutes. One thing he did, he preached from the King James Bible. But on a Sunday morning, as he was preaching, he took the Bible and threw it down and said, "You love that book more than you love me." Because he was deceiving the people. And when he did that, there were some that realized, whoa, this guy, we're out of here. But the others that were deceived, following a man, they followed him to their death. That's why I even say, look, search the scriptures. If you hear something that, you know, doesn't sound right, I mean, question me on it. I'm not bothered by being questioned, right? If the Bible says it, then you know, the Bible says it, all right? Because this is what God's given. That's why I said, be careful of what people say. Be careful what people are teaching on the fact that, you know what, you don't have a copy of God's word. That's a lie from the devil, because God's given you a copy of his word. That's why God wants you to read it, memorize it. I already brought this up before, but Paul and the apostles, they're using the Old Testament scriptures to lead people to Christ. The New Testament didn't come into play or into writing until Paul wrote his letters, until Luke wrote the book of Acts and the book of Luke, writing all these accounts, right? And then they're collated into a book that we can have, that God wanted us to have, all right? So again, be careful, but be diligent. Love God's word. Read God's word. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Listen to preaching. Find some good preachers. I do, even though I'm a pastor, I listen to some good preachers I know are solid in their faith, because I want to hear preaching. God chose the foolishness of preaching. Unbelievers, they think that's so weird to go listen to somebody. Why? You listen to somebody sing rock songs, you listen to someone give a political speech, right? And none of that really does anything for you, but the preaching of God's word does. There's power in God's word. So listen to it. Listen to it being preached and taught. All right? Let me give you the last one here. Obviously, we should respond by obeying God's word. Always obey God's word. Not what man says. Again, match up what's being said with Scripture. Always go with Scripture. Always go with what God says. In James chapter 1, it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." God promises that we will be blessed when we're doers of the word and not just hearers. Again, God wants to bless his people by his word. He wants us to love his word. Again, how do you know that you have salvation? By God's word. How do you know that you have the assurance of salvation, that you can't lose it? By God's word. How do you know that there's a place prepared for you in heaven? By God's word, right? And again, it is what is fought against daily in your life. Your flesh doesn't want it. Your spirit does. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, the Bible tells us, all right? So again, as we continue on with the foundation, this is the foundation of your faith. Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You have a risen Savior to follow, to love, one who prays for you. You have his word to build your life upon, right? The foundation of his word. And we'll see, obviously, going forward, how God's word truly does help our faith. All right?